Today, we're zeroing in on something pretty much everyone's dealt with at some point. A sore throat. That scratchy, annoying, sometimes really quite painful feeling.
Definitely common.
And usually, it's a minor thing, something you ride out with rest, maybe some tea. But the big question we get asked is, how do you know when it's actually more serious?
Exactly. When is it time to think beyond home remedies?
When should you maybe head to urgent care?
Yeah.
That's what we really want to unpack today. We've looked through a lot of doctor-answered FAQs, advice columns, all sorts of sources. And our goal is pretty simple. Give you clear, actionable info so you feel more confident about what to do next time that sore throat hits.
Yeah, it's so easy to just dismiss it. And look, most of the time, that's probably okay. But knowing those warning signs that say, hey, maybe get this checked out, that's crucial.
Okay, so before we get into when to seek help, let's maybe start with the basics. What actually causes a sore throat in the first place? It feels like they just pop up sometimes.
That's a great starting point. It might seem random, but sore throats generally fall into a few main buckets. The vast majority are caused by viruses.
Like the common cold.
Exactly. The common cold, flu, bronchitis, even COVID-19 often starts with a sore throat. Mono is another viral one.
Okay.
Then you've got bacterial infections. The big one everyone thinks of is strep throat.
Right. Strep.
Yeah. And while viruses are way more common, bacterial stuff like strep or rarer things like epiglottitis or even a peritonsillar abscess, they need specific treatment, usually antibiotics, to avoid complications.
So viral versus bacterial is a key difference.
A huge difference. And beyond infections, you can get sore throats from things like acid reflux, GERD, stomach acid coming back up irritates the throat.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Allergies, too. They can cause that post-nasal drip and throat irritation. Or just straining your voice, shouting too much at a game, maybe. Or irritants like smoke or dry air. And then, much less commonly, you might have underlying things, autoimmune issues, or very rarely, other growths. So, yeah, it's a wide range.
Wow, okay. That really paints a picture. It's definitely not just one thing. Which brings us back to the main point, knowing when it's serious enough for urgent care. So when should you make that trip?
Okay, the general rule of thumb is this. If your sore throat is really severe, or if it hangs around for more than, say, 5 days without getting any better.
5 days.
Or, importantly, if it comes with certain specific symptoms, then yeah, urgent care should be on your radar. Most simple viral sore throats will start improving within that 3 to 5 day window. If yours isn't, or it's getting worse, something else might be going on.
Got it. And what are those specific symptoms, the red flags you mentioned?
Right. There are several key ones. A big one is a muffled voice, sometimes called a hot potato voice, like you're trying to talk around something hot.
Hot potato voice. I like that description. Why is that a flag?
It suggests significant swelling back there, which could compromise your airway. Another is drooling, especially in adults. Or if a child is drooling excessively, that can mean it's too painful or difficult to swallow saliva.
Okay, that makes sense.
Any difficulty breathing is major. Or if you hear a high-pitched whistling sound when you breathe in, that's called stridor. That's an emergency signal, really.
Breathing issues straight to seeking help.
Absolutely. Then, severe pain that's noticeably worse on one side of the throat, that could point towards an abscess, like a collection of pus beside the tonsil.
One-sided pain, interesting.
Yeah. A stiff neck is another one, or significant neck pain or swelling. Again, if the swelling is just on one side, that raises suspicion for an abscess even more.
What about fever? Lots of things cause fever.
True, but a high fever, consistently over 102 degrees Fahrenheit, or about 39 Celsius, especially with a bad sore throat, that warrants a check. It could signal a more serious bacterial infection.
Okay.
And maybe less common, but if you've had a recent injury to your throat, definitely get that looked at.
Let's dig into a couple of those. You said severe sore throat or trouble swallowing. Why is that so critical?
If the pain is so bad you can barely swallow, it suggests something more intense than just a mild virus is happening. It could be a really aggressive infection or enough swelling to actually narrow things down back there. Plus, if you can't swallow fluids easily, you risk getting dehydrated.
Dehydration is a concern, too.
Definitely. And that brings its own set of problems.
And the high fever, again, over 102 degrees Fahrenheit. Why does that push it towards urgent care?
A high persistent fever alongside that bad sore throat is often a classic sign pointing towards a bacterial infection, most commonly strep. And strep needs antibiotics, not just for comfort, but to prevent potential, though rare, complications down the line, like rheumatic fever. So that combo is a strong signal to get tested.
Okay, that clarifies the fever point. What about other signs? Maybe things that aren't quite breathing difficulty level, but still concerning?
Sure. Things like shaking chills or drenching night sweats can suggest your body is fighting a significant systemic infection. Sometimes fatigue, joint pain, or even an earache on the same side as the sore throat can be linked. Yeah, sometimes the pain can radiate, or it could be related to the same underlying infection. Severe pain just below the jawline could mean swollen lymph nodes fighting infection, maybe feeling like a lump there.
Okay. And what about signs of that dehydration we mentioned?
Yeah, watch for things like feeling dizzy or lightheaded, having a very dry mouth, or noticing your urine is much darker than usual because you're just not taking in enough fluid.
Those are classic dehydration signs.
And we mentioned the voice change, that hot potato voice, but any significant change in voice can indicate severe swelling.
So a whole cluster of things to watch for beyond just the throat pain itself.
Exactly.
Okay, we've talked about urgent care. When does a sore throat cross the line into needing the emergency room or even calling 911?
That's the next level of seriousness. ER is for potentially life-threatening situations. The absolute biggest ones are severe difficulty breathing or swallowing.
Difficulty breathing we covered, but severe difficulty swallowing.
Yes. If it's so bad you literally cannot swallow your own saliva or you can't drink water at all, that points to a possible serious blockage, maybe a severe abscess like a peritonsillar abscess or even epiglottitis, which is swelling of the little flap covering your windpipe, or it could be a severe allergic reaction. That difficulty swallowing puts you at high risk for dehydration very quickly and signals something critical might be happening in your airway.
So inability to swallow saliva or water equals ER.
Absolutely. And any feeling like your throat is closing up or obvious trouble breathing, gasping, straining your neck muscles to breathe, that's not just ER, that's potentially a 911 call situation.
Okay, call 911 for severe breathing distress.
Yes. Paramedics can start life-saving interventions immediately. Other ER triggers would be rapidly worsening swelling in your throat or face. That could be a sign of a fast-moving infection deep in the neck or a severe allergic reaction. Again, think about calling 911 if it's progressing quickly.
Rapid swelling is another big one.
Definitely. And a very high fever, say above 103 degrees or 39.4 degrees C, especially if it comes with extreme fatigue, confusion, or weakness. That could indicate a serious systemic infection like sepsis or meningitis, particularly if other symptoms align.
High fever with confusion or severe weakness.
Right. And that drooling we mentioned earlier. If it's because someone cannot swallow, that can be a sign of epiglottitis, which is a medical emergency needing immediate ER care.
So the ER is really for those immediate life-threatening airway issues, severe dehydration risk, or signs of widespread serious infection.
Precisely. They have the resources for immediate high-level interventions that urgent care might not.
That's a critical distinction.
Right.
Now, what about less urgent options? When might telehealth or just seeing your regular primary care doctor be appropriate?
Good question. Telehealth can actually be quite useful for milder sore throats. Maybe you just want some advice, guidance on over-the-counter remedies, or you suspect strep because you've had it before or been exposed, maybe even did a home test that was positive.
Oh, home strep tests are a thing now.
They are. Or if you think your sore throat might be linked to your known acid reflux. Telehealth is convenient, especially if you want to avoid going out when you're sick. They can assess you virtually, give advice, and even prescribe medication like antibiotics if needed and appropriate based on the virtual assessment.
Okay, so telehealth for milder cases or follow-ups. What about the primary care physician?
Your PCP is great for a sore throat that seems mild, maybe slowly improving, and doesn't have any of those urgent care red flags we talked about. Or if you suspect it's allergies, or if you have chronic, recurrent, mild sore throats you want to discuss.
But if symptoms worsen?
Then you pivot. If those mild symptoms start getting worse or red flags appear, then you escalate to urgent care or even the ER as needed. Don't just wait for your PCP appointment if things are deteriorating.
Okay, let's recap the 911 situation briefly, just to be crystal clear. When is it absolutely time to call emergency services?
It boils down to immediate life threats. Severe trouble breathing is number one. Gasping for air, inability to speak more than a word or two, significant drooling because you can't swallow, a muffled or very weak voice, any sign of losing consciousness, call 911.
Breathing emergencies, 911.
Yes. Also, a severe sore throat combined with a high fever, like 102 degrees or higher, making it too painful to swallow anything, leading to dehydration risk. Significant swelling on one side of the throat, suggesting that peritonsillar abscess, especially with severe pain, difficulty swallowing, maybe earache, and a hoarse voice.
Yeah, one-sided swelling again.
It's a key indicator of a potential abscess needing urgent drainage. And critically, if someone has worsening symptoms and they have a compromised immune system, maybe from HIV/AIDS, cancer treatment, diabetes, or immunosuppressant medications, things can escalate much faster.
So immunocompromised individuals need to be extra vigilant.
Absolutely. They're at higher risk for severe infections and complications like sepsis. Signs of sepsis, like confusion, rapid heart rate, extreme fatigue, along with a severe sore throat in someone immunocompromised, warrants immediate emergency attention. Call 911. Paramedics can provide crucial support en route.
This is really helpful. It feels like having a mental checklist could be useful for people trying to decide what to do. Can we maybe outline some key questions someone can ask themselves?
Definitely. A practical checklist could look something like this. First, has your sore throat lasted more than, say, 3 to 5 days without improving? If yes, think urgent care. If no, maybe monitor or call your primary doctor.
Okay, duration first.
Second, is the pain severe and not really getting better with over-the-counter pain meds like ibuprofen or acetaminophen? If yes, lean towards urgent care. If manageable, maybe stick with home care for now.
Pain level and response to meds. Got it.
Look in your throat if you can. Do you see white patches, pus, or any unusual rash back there or on your skin? If yes, that suggests potential strep or another infection needing evaluation urgent care. If no, it's more likely viral, so self-care might be sufficient initially.
Visual check for pus for patches.
Fourth, what's your temperature? Is it consistently high? Over that 102 degrees or 39 degrees C mark? If yes, urgent care. If lower or no fever, could be viral or mild.
High fever check.
Fifth, consider your overall health. Do you have a weakened immune system for any reason? If yes, be much more cautious and seek care sooner, likely urgent care even with less severe symptoms. If no, you might have a bit more leeway to monitor.
Immune status.
And always remember those big ones we discussed. Any difficulty breathing or swallowing? Significant neck or facial swelling? Those aren't urgent care questions. Those are ER territory.
That's a great checklist. Duration, pain level, visual signs, fever, immune status, and the big emergency signs. All right, so let's say someone follows that checklist, decides urgent care is the way to go. What actually happens during that visit?
Okay, so you get to urgent care. They'll want to talk. They'll ask about your symptoms, exactly what you're feeling, when it started, how bad it is, anything making it better or worse. They'll ask about fever, cough, other symptoms.
Taking a history.
Exactly. They'll ask about your past medical history, allergies, medications you take. Then comes the physical exam. They'll look carefully at your throat using a light, checking for redness, swelling, those white patches or pus we mentioned. They'll likely also feel the lymph nodes in your neck for swelling or tenderness.
The hands-on check.
Right. And based on that history and exam, they'll decide if tests are needed.
And what are the common tests? You mentioned the rapid strep test.
That's the most common one, yeah. They'll swab the back of your throat. It's quick, maybe a little uncomfortable, like a gag reflex trigger. The rapid test gives results usually within minutes, maybe 5 to 15 minutes.
Pretty fast.
It is, but it's important to know they're not perfect. They can sometimes miss strep infections, what we call a false negative. So if the rapid test is negative, but the doctor still strongly suspects strep based on your symptoms, they might send a second swab for a throat culture.
A throat culture?
Yeah, that's grown in a lab. It takes longer, usually a couple of days to get results, but it's more accurate for confirming strep. Depending on the situation and your symptoms, they might also test for other things like mono, flu, or COVID-19.
Okay, so discussion, exam, potentially tests like rapid strep or culture.
Yeah.
Then what? Treatment.
Then treatment, exactly. And that depends entirely on the diagnosis. If it is bacterial, like strep confirmed by a test, they'll prescribe antibiotics. Usually penicillin or amoxicillin are first choices unless you're allergic. Then they have alternatives.
And they'll explain how to take them.
Oh, absolutely. They'll stress how important it is to take the full course of antibiotics, even if you start feeling better after a day or two. Stopping early can mean the infection isn't fully cleared and could contribute to antibiotic resistance down the road. They should also mention potential side effects, like maybe an upset stomach.
Good point about finishing the whole course. What if it's not bacterial?
If it's viral, which again is most common, antibiotics won't do anything. So treatment focuses on managing symptoms. They'll recommend rest, lots of fluids, maybe over-the-counter pain relievers like acetaminophen or ibuprofen. They might suggest salt water gargles or throat lozenges for comfort.
So supportive care for viral infections.
Exactly. If they suspect something else, like acid reflux, they might suggest trying antacids or advise you to follow up with your primary doctor for managing that.
That makes sense. Speaking of managing symptoms, what about home remedies? What do doctors typically recommend people can do themselves alongside any prescribed treatment, or if it's just a mild viral thing?
Yeah, home care is really important for comfort. Number one is fluids. Staying hydrated helps keep the throat lining moist and can thin mucus. Warm liquids like tea with honey or broth can be especially soothing.
Honey is often mentioned, right?
Yes. Honey has some actual evidence behind it for soothing sore throats and coughs. Just remember, not for infants under 1 year old due to the risk of botulism.
Good safety tip. What else?
Gargling with warm salt water is a classic for a reason. About half a teaspoon of salt in a glass of warm water. Gargle for 15, 20 seconds, then spit it out. You can repeat that every few hours. It can help reduce swelling and clear mucus.
Salt water gargle. Check.
Throat lozenges or sprays can provide temporary numbing relief, which can be really helpful if swallowing is painful. Some lozenges contain ingredients like menthol or even mild anesthetics. Zinc lozenges are sometimes mentioned. Some studies suggest they might help shorten viral illnesses if started early, but the evidence is a bit mixed.
Lozenges for temporary relief.
Pain relievers, like we mentioned, acetaminophen, Tylenol, or ibuprofen, Advil, Motrin. Follow the dosing instructions carefully and make sure they don't interact with other medications you take. Resting your voice is important too, especially if hoarseness is involved. Try not to whisper, as that can strain your voice more. Just speak softly or rest it completely.
Rest the voice.
And using a cool mist humidifier can help keep the air moist, which can prevent your throat from drying out and feeling more irritated, especially overnight.
The fluids, honey, gargles, lozenges, pain meds, voice rest, humidifier. Lots of options for comfort.
Definitely. These help you feel better while your body fights the infection or while antibiotics kick in if it's bacterial.
Now, what about prescription medications besides antibiotics? Are there other things a doctor might prescribe?
Antibiotics like penicillin or amoxicillin are the main prescription for confirmed bacterial infections like strep. If someone's allergic, they might use things like azithromycin or cefalexin. Again, finishing the course is key, and some doctors recommend changing your toothbrush after you've been on antibiotics for 24 hours to avoid reinfecting yourself.
Change toothbrush, that's a smart tip. Anything else?
Sometimes for severe inflammation and pain, a doctor might consider prescribing stronger anti-inflammatory medications, perhaps even a short course of steroids in specific situations, but that's less common for a typical sore throat and reserved for significant swelling. Mostly it's antibiotics if bacterial, and over-the-counter anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen or naproxen for pain and fever, whether it's viral or bacterial. Always best to check with the doctor or pharmacist about safely combining medications.
Right. Always check for interactions. Okay, one last area. We touched on telehealth. Let's imagine someone's listening, maybe feeling unsure. I think I should talk to someone right now. Can you talk a bit more about how these virtual visits work, maybe using an example like Doctor on Demand?
Sure. Services like Doctor on Demand, and there are others too, offer virtual urgent care visits. The big advantage is convenience and speed. You can often connect with a board-certified doctor 24/7 right from your home, usually via video call on your smartphone or computer.
So no need to travel when you're feeling unwell.
Exactly. During the virtual visit, the doctor will ask you all those same detailed questions about your symptoms, history, medications, just like in person. They'll guide you on how to show them your throat using your device's camera, asking you to open and say, maybe use a flashlight if needed.
They can actually see your throat reasonably well on video.
Yes. Enough to check for significant redness, swelling, or pus, especially with good lighting. Based on this virtual assessment, they can make a diagnosis for many common conditions, including differentiating likely viral from potentially bacterial sore throats based on the overall clinical picture.
And can they prescribe medication?
Yes. If they diagnose a bacterial infection like strep based on the assessment, they can electronically send a prescription for antibiotics to your preferred pharmacy. They can also recommend appropriate over-the-counter treatments and home care strategies. And importantly, if they feel your symptoms warrant in-person evaluation or testing they can't do remotely, like a strep test, they'll advise you to go to urgent care or the ER.
So it acts as a good first point of contact sometimes. How should someone prepare for a virtual visit to make it effective?
Good question. Find a quiet, private space with good lighting. Test your internet connection and camera microphone beforehand. Have your key information ready. When symptoms started, what they are, your temperature if you've taken it, any medications you take, known allergies. It's also helpful to jot down any specific questions you have for the doctor beforehand so you don't forget. Maybe have a notepad handy to write down their recommendations.
Be prepared. just like an in-person visit.
Yes, the more prepared you are, the smoother and more helpful the virtual consultation will be.
This has been incredibly comprehensive. We've covered everything from what causes a sore throat to the red flags for urgent care, the really serious signs for the ER, what happens at a visit, home care, and even virtual options. Thank you.
You're welcome. The main takeaway is knowing that while most sore throats are minor, being aware of those warning signs is key for your health. Don't ignore persistent or severe symptoms.
Absolutely. Understanding that spectrum of care, from saltwater gargles all the way up to emergency services, is empowering. Remember those red flags. Severe difficulty breathing or swallowing, high fever, muffled voice, one-sided swelling. Those are your cues to act quickly.
Exactly. And maybe a final thought to leave people with. Consider how interconnected symptoms can be. A sore throat might seem isolated, but pay attention to what else your body is telling you. Trust your gut feeling, too. If something feels really wrong, even if it doesn't perfectly match a list, getting it checked out is usually the wisest move. How might seemingly small changes sometimes signal something bigger that needs attention sooner than you'd think? It's worth reflecting on being proactive about listening to your body.